The World Tomorrow. Herbert W. Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
Well, greetings, friends. This is Herbert W. Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow. My friends, when I tell you that most of you believe that the Bible says exactly the opposite of what is really written there, I know that's just a little hard to take. And when I tell you that most of you probably believe, yes, actually and sincerely believe, a gospel that is contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the very gospel that Christ preached, and that you accept and in all good faith and sincerity follow religious customs totally different from those that were followed by Jesus or the inspired early church under the apostles, well, that's astonishing to say the least. It's pretty hard to accept, isn't it? Yes, I know. But my friends, it's a challenge. It's a challenge that I faced years ago. Yes, I know all about it. But I didn't run from that challenge. I decided that I wanted to know the truth. And I determined to look into it, to really examine the Bible seriously for the first time in my life, to see for myself exactly what the Bible does say, and to see with my own eyes from the original authoritative record precisely what Jesus Christ did preach, what customs he followed, and what example he set. And so, will you go and get your Bible right now? Open your own Bible. See the truth for yourself. That is, unless you're listening right now on your car radio, as I know a good many of you are. I want you to see these surprising, these eye-opening, yes, these thrilling, most interesting facts of life with your own eyes in your own Bible. You're going to find things that you didn't dream were there. You're going to find things that affect your very own life and that can show you the reason for a lot of your unhappinesses, can show you the reason for poverty, for fears and worries, even bad health, and for a lot of things that have troubled you. In other words, you can find the way to a much happier life if you're just not afraid of the Bible. You're going to get the surprise of your life. And you're going to find that the Bible is not a dry, dull, uninteresting book. No longer will it be the book that nobody knows. It's going to become the most absorbing interest in your life. Yes, and the most important, the most profitable, the most valuable, as well as the most interesting. Now, don't believe me. Don't believe any man. Believe the inspired, authoritative, very Word of God as you see it in your own Bible with your own eyes. That's certainly fair enough, isn't it? All right. Now continuing. The gospel that Jesus preached, the gospel he taught the disciples, did not originate with him. It originated with God the Father. Now, I'm going to summarize just a little bit very quickly. Turn to Malachi, the third chapter in the first verse. Will you mark it? If you're riding in your car, see if you can't remember that. Malachi, the third chapter in the first verse, last book in the Old Testament, where you read this, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." That messenger, as you will find in Mark 1, verse 2, is John the Baptist, who prepared the way before Christ. "And the Lord, whom ye seek," that's Christ, "shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in." Now that's who Christ is, the messenger of the covenant. Now the very first sermon preached to Gentiles is recorded in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. And it was not the Apostle Paul, but Peter who was sent for the first sermon to the Gentiles. Afterward, the Apostle Paul was a special apostle called to devote his whole time to the ministry to the Gentiles, while Peter went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Nevertheless, it was Peter who opened salvation to the Gentiles, and you find the first account of the first inspired gospel preaching of the New Testament gospel in Acts, the 10th chapter, and the 36th and 37th verses. Now, just a little later, I'm going to show you whether or not the Apostle Paul proclaimed the same gospel, or whether he brought a different gospel to the Gentiles. But let's see what Peter took to them now. Acts, the 10th chapter, the 36th and the 37th verses. Here it is. The word which God sent. You see, it was sent by God the Father. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, that's who it was sent to, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Christ then was the messenger of the covenant. And it is the new covenant. He is the mediator of the new. Moses was the mediator of the old covenant. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, continued Peter to the Gentiles, that word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Now, there are a number of points there, so listen. It was the word which God sent. It was sent unto the children of Israel. Yes, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. But now, 10 years later, it's going to Gentiles. That same gospel, identically. Now, by whom was it sent? The messenger was Christ. It was sent by God. The message that God sent by Jesus Christ, he is the messenger of the new covenant. And this message, then, is the New Testament gospel. Now, where was it first preached? Peter said it began from Galilee. That's where you'll have to look for the geographical location for its beginning. And now when? There's a time for it also, after the baptism which John preached. All right, there you have the messenger, the geographical location, you have the time, you have the people it was preached to, you have all the directions. And those very definite directions lead us directly to the first chapter of Mark. Now in your Bible, the first chapter of Mark and verses 14 and 15. Verse 1 is telling you the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The intervening verses there are recounting the messenger that prepared the way before him, the message of John the Baptist. And now that John the Baptist is put in prison, verse 14, after that John was put in prison, well, there's the exact time. Jesus, there's the exact messenger, came into Galilee, the precise geographical location. Now, there we have the people, the Israelites all around there. And so Jesus came into Galilee preaching what? Here's the gospel, listen. Preaching the gospel, not a message about himself, not a message deifying himself, but the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying the time is fulfilled. There was a time for it. That time was then fulfilled. Not at the cross, not later on the day of Pentecost, not in the days of the Apostle Paul, more than 10 years yet after that, but at this time after John was put in prison. There's the time. And Jesus said, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye. He said to the people, do two things. Repent ye, that's number one, and number two, and believe. Believe what? Did he say, believe on me? Well, in other places he did, but not here. What did he say here? Believe the gospel. Now let me explain that. If he said, believe the gospel here, you have to believe the gospel. If he said in another place, believe on me, then you also have to believe on him. Let me tell you something, my friends, about the Bible. Whatever you find in one place is true. Whatever you find in another place is also true. And you have to put them together and believe both. So you do have to believe on Christ, of course. But you also have to believe that gospel to be saved. And how can you do that if you don't know what that gospel is? And my friends, most of you do not know what that gospel is. Oh yes, you'd better open your ears. You'd better get your Bible. And as I've said so many, many times, blow the dust off of it. Yes, you'd better begin to look into it. There it is, my friends. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not a gospel that men preach about Christ. The gospel of Christ isn't a message about his person.
The true gospel of Christ is Christ's own gospel, the gospel he preached, and it didn't originate with him, but with God the Father. And he said, the word that I speak is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Now, the kingdom of God is something that you and I can inherit, that we can enter into. Now, you can enter into a house. You can walk into it. The house isn't in you. You get into the house. And I want to tell you, my friends, you've been believing, a lot of you, that the kingdom of God is something that comes into your heart. Now, the Bible doesn't teach the kingdom of God is something that comes into you. Now, the very essence of the kingdom and your way into the kingdom is within you in the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's true. And Jesus did say in one case, although there's another translation of that, that the kingdom of God is within you. But the correct and proper translation, if you have a marginal reference in your Bible, you will see that it says among you, and that was through Christ, and he was in the kingdom of God. And actually, among you is the correct translation, not within you there. But even the Spirit of God within you will put you into the kingdom of God. But by one Spirit are we all baptized into the one body, the church. And the church is to be changed from mortal to immortal and into the kingdom of God. Now, let's go on with those scriptures, and I'll show them to you. I want you to get this. The kingdom of God is something we can enter into. Let me read it to you right here. And it's in the third chapter of John. The third chapter of John. And we're going to come to that in just a moment. The kingdom of God is something that you inherit. Well, Jesus said to Nicodemus in the third chapter of John that no man can see or enter into the kingdom of God until he has been born of God, born again. But first, I want to cover this here in the 25th chapter of Matthew. The kingdom of God is something we inherit. We possess, we inherit. Matthew 25, and beginning with verse 31, speaking of the second coming of Christ. Now, in John 14, Jesus had said that he was going to heaven. Prior to that, he had said, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the other comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come. So he left this earth after his resurrection. He ascended bodily to heaven. And he said, if I go, I will come again. And when he comes again, he's here. And when he's here, when he comes again, he said, I'll receive you unto myself. That where I am, he'll be here. You may be also. Now, in going to heaven, he said, where I go, you cannot come. He was going to heaven. And of that, he said, where I go, you cannot come. Jesus had said, if you read your Bible, I know this isn't what you believed. I told you, my friends, that in many ways you believed exactly the opposite of what the Bible said. And you can get a concordance and locate this. I'm not going to give it to you right now. I've given it to you so many, many times on this program, and I will again. But Jesus said, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, even he himself. No man had ascended up to heaven. Now, David had not ascended into the heavens, as Peter very plainly said in the first inspired sermon that you find in the second chapter of the book of Acts, that David was dead and buried. He was still covered up, buried. He is not ascended into the heavens, and David is certainly going to be in the resurrection. You find a number of prophecies about David, whom God says, I will raise up, and he's to be the king over all Israel in the kingdom of God. So he's going to be in the resurrection, but he was not in heaven. Now, the kingdom of God is something we can inherit when Jesus comes. He said, if I go, I will come again. And you find in Matthew 25, and beginning with verse 31 there, that when the Son of Man has come in his kingdom, when he has come, having received the kingdom, he went to a far country, heaven, to get for himself the kingdom, as he mentioned in the parable of the pounds in the 19th chapter of Luke. And now, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, you know, they didn't see him in his glory, my friends. No, they could see Jesus. He looked like another man. Do you realize that when Jesus was on this earth, even after his resurrection, on the Sunday afternoon after his resurrection, he was walking along with two other men. He just appeared suddenly They didn't notice how he just appeared. He could appear and disappear, that's true. And two men were walking along to Emmaus. They were disciples, and they had known Jesus. And he suddenly appeared and walked right along with them. They looked at him. They didn't know who he was. They didn't recognize him, although they had known him. And you know, some of the disciples didn't recognize him either after his resurrection for some reason. But these men didn't see anything that struck fear into them. They saw an ordinary man, and they talked with him a while. And then he made himself known to them. Then they were a little afraid because he was alive again. But there was nothing in his appearance that frightened them. I wonder, did you ever notice how Jesus is since he's been glorified? How he is described later? For instance, over here in the very first chapter of the book of Revelation. Here he is described in verse 14, his head and his hairs were white as wool, white as snow. His eyes were as flames of fire. Now that man walking along there on the road to Emmaus didn't have eyes like flames of fire. Now Jesus is coming in all his glory and in the power of the Creator God when he comes again. And every eye shall see him. What are you going to think when you see a face like that, my friends? You're not going to see the same face in the same way that they did. It'll be the same face as to form and shape. But oh, those eyes with fire leaping out from them. The face that will shine like the sun in full strength. That is the appearance of Jesus. When he shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, and then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as the shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left, and then shall the king say, King of the earth, all nations before him, that's mortal people right here on the earth. And then he will say to those on his right hand, Come, ye blessed, inherit. Then they come into the inheritance. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now the kingdom of God then is something we can inherit when Christ comes in his glory. Then he will say, Come and inherit the kingdom. And as I mentioned in Galatians 3, verse 29, the Apostle Paul said to the Gentiles that if you are Christ's, then you're no longer a Gentile. You're now Abraham's children. In the second chapter of Ephesians, he explained that the Gentiles are no longer Gentiles, but are now Israelites by spiritual begettal, if they are really Christian, if they are really begotten of God, converted, changed. It means a total change in your whole thinking and in your action and in the direction of your whole life, if you are. So the kingdom of God is something we can one day inherit, but we're only heirs now in this life. That's all. Now, the kingdom isn't something that comes now at this time in you. It's something that you will inherit and something you can enter into at the resurrection of Christ. Oh, I know that isn't what you believed, but that's what your Bible says. And my friends, if you just listen to this program, and if you want to enroll in our Bible correspondence course, the Ambassador College Bible correspondence course, and study your Bible, and if you want to get on the mailing list of the Plain Truth magazine and know about world conditions and what they mean and understand Bible prophecy and have your Bible opened up to you as a new book, and yet you must study it all in your Bible. Don't believe one thing I say because I say it. Don't believe one thing that you read in the Plain Truth magazine or in this Bible study course as such. It's only going to point to you what you find in your Bible, and you believe what you find there. You're on safe ground when you do that. You know, I can't mislead you when I tell you to do that, my friends. So you believe what you find there. Now, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of the kingdom of God, because that's the gospel he preached. It's not a gospel of men about Christ. It's the message he preached, and he preached about the kingdom of God. Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, that gospel of the kingdom isn't for now. A lot of people believe that. They say, well, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God, that's for the Jews, and it's for a later time, or something of the sort. They don't believe it's for everybody and for us now. Well, listen. Open your Bible. Luke, the 16th chapter and the 16th verse. Luke 16:16. 2 16s, you can remember that. If you're in your car right now and you don't have a Bible, you're at the steering wheel, be careful. Don't get in an accident. But listen, my friends, you can remember that. Luke 16:16. I know you can remember it. Read it when you get home. The law and the prophets, that's the Old Testament message, were until John, not until the cross, not until the day of Pentecost, not until the Apostle Paul, until John. Since when? Since that time. Not since Paul, not since the cross, but since John's gospel. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Now, that's pretty plain, isn't it? Since John, the kingdom of God is preached. All right. My friends, there was a definite time for the beginning of the gospel, and it was since John. And I just read to you, after John was put in prison, Galilee was the place, Jesus was the messenger, and the people of Israel were the people that it was preached to. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. There was a time for the beginning of that gospel. And my friends, that was the time when John was put in prison, since John. Now, what is that gospel? What does the word gospel mean? I explained in the preceding program, it comes from the old English word godspell, which means good news. Good news, glad tidings. Oh, it's good news. Now, what is a kingdom? Well, it's a government, it's a nation, and the government which rules it. A kingdom, then, is a nation. Now, if you're going to get into the kingdom of God, it's a definite nation. And let me tell you something, it's not a human nation, it's a divine nation. My friends, if you can understand it, if you can comprehend it, the kingdom of God is God. God is a kingdom. There's a mineral kingdom. There's a plant kingdom. There's an animal kingdom. And God created an angel kingdom too. But God, who created that angel kingdom and all of the other kingdoms, God is the creating kingdom, and God is a kingdom. Oh, only one God. There's only one church, one true church. I don't know how many churches you belong to, but there's just one true church. One true church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And you read in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians that that church is called the body of Christ. And you read that there's only the one body, not a lot of churches, but it is composed of many members. Oh, yes, many persons complete that church. Many persons. Now, there's more than one person to make God, because God is a kingdom. And the church, listen, the body of Christ, the church, is to be converted into, at the resurrection, changed into the kingdom of God. You just keep studying in your New Testament. It's all there, and it's all through your New Testament, my friends. It's something you inherit, something you enter into. If you're in the church, it's the church that inherits it. And if the individual who is in the church and one of the members of the body of Christ is going to get into the kingdom of God, then all the other members are too. And all of them, the church then becomes the kingdom of God at the resurrection. Oh, I want to tell you, my friends, the truth is so wonderful, it's clear beyond anything the human natural mind has ever conceived or understood. Now, four things constitute a kingdom. First, the territory, with its specific location and definite boundary lines, of a king or a supreme ruler or governing agent ruling over subjects or citizens, that is, the nation, And we will become that nation that we enter into the kingdom. We're one of its citizens. The nation within that territorial jurisdiction, who is ruling with laws and a form of government. Now you have to have all those things. Who is the king? How are you going to get into the kingdom and be a subject of it? Well, that's salvation. That is grace. And that's part of the gospel, isn't it? Of course it is. It's part of it. But the whole gospel goes further than just that alone. There's the real truth, my friends. Christ is the king. You have to believe in Christ. He is the king of the kingdom. You have to know the way of salvation. That's the way you get into it. But you also have to know where is the territory. And you have to know something about the laws of God and the rulership and the governing of God, because it's the kingdom, the government of God. And it's government from God the Father through Christ right on down to the rest of us. And if you don't know how God governs and you're not yielded to that government, I want to tell you something, my friends. God Almighty will never save one soul. He cannot and does not govern. And if you think you can go your own way, you can do what seems right in your own sight and follow other people like sheep and do the way of the customs of our time and just believe on Christ, and that's all you have to do, you've got a little part of the gospel and only part, and the parts you don't have are going to keep you out of the kingdom. Jesus said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men and following the tradition of men, making the law of God of no effect by your human traditions. That's in the 7th chapter of Mark's gospel. Mark, the 7th chapter. Read that with your own eyes and your own Bible. You can believe in Christ. You can accept Christ as your personal Savior. You can worship Christ, and all in vain, and not be saved at all, my friends. Oh, yes, I know. You haven't believed that. You haven't understood that. That's in your Bible. Will you read that with your own eyes? Now, my friends, if you leave out any one of these four vital requisites, where is this kingdom to be, up in heaven or here on earth? What about its laws? And if you leave the laws out of it, if you leave Christ the King out of it, if you don't understand what it really means to be born again, and I want to tell you, very few do. A lot of people believe in being born again. A lot of people talk about it and do not understand it. You have to understand and practice every one of those things if you're going to get into the kingdom of God. And you can't preach and know the true gospel unless you have all of those things, and you have to believe the gospel to be saved. And how can you believe it if you don't even know what it is? Oh, I want to tell you, a lot of people have been mixed up, haven't they, in this world today? You know, my friends, the Bible becomes very thrilling, very interesting when you get into all of these things. Now, Jesus said to Nicodemus that you have to be born of God. And God, in the 4th chapter of John, you read, is a spirit. And you have to be born of God. He said that which is born in the flesh is flesh. So that's what we are, just flesh and blood, mortal flesh and blood now. And you have to be changed from mortal flesh and blood into the immortal spirit. And he said, when you're born of the spirit, you will be spirit. That which is born of the spirit is spirit, so said Jesus to Nicodemus in the 3rd chapter of John.
So now, this is Herbert W. Armstrong saying goodbye, friends, until tomorrow and daily on most of these stations.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Herbert W. Armstrong.